Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Stagey Place podcast. It's Elliot here and today I'm really excited to be bringing you my chat with Georgina Trott, who is the assistant producer behind The Land of Lost Content, a production taking place at the Pleasance Downstairs and is a part of the Vault Transfer season after the cancellation news about the festival earlier in the year. Getting the chance to chat with Georgie was really exciting as the production actually takes place this week from the 10th until the 12th of February, and I'm so grateful for Georgie to be able to take time out of her busy schedule to be chatting with me. So without any further delay, here is episode 38 of The Stagey Place with myself and Georgina Trott. Hello Georgie, welcome to The Stagey Place. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, Elliot?
I'm doing really good, thanks. So we're just saying that I've managed to get you up early on a Sunday, so I really do appreciate you taking your time to chat with me this morning. We're talking today because you are the assistant producer on Land of Lost Content, which is at the Pleasance Theatre from the 10th to the 12th of February, and it's a part of the Vault Transfer season. Georgie, for you, how has rehearsals been going?
I mean, it's been quite a short process for us because as soon as we found out that the Vaults Festival was cancelled, we moved into rehearsals pretty much the week afterwards.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that was less than a month ago. And so it's been quite a short process, but definitely one that's taken a lot of time for both the actors and the director, Nick.
Yeah.
So yeah, 3 more days worth of rehearsals, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we're into tech.
That's really exciting. And let's just talk a little bit about then when the original run of Land of Lost Content was actually going to run at the Vault Festival. Has it changed quite dramatically with this current run at the Pleasance?
So it was meant to be a little bit later on in February. It's changed slightly, but not too much.
Yeah.
The original plan was always to have about 3 weeks worth of rehearsals. It's just we pushed it back a week. So we were quite lucky because it's a two-hander. So Henry Mads, who wrote the play, he is also acting in it. And then we also found Dara Hans, who is a wonderful actor. And we found him literally the week before we started rehearsals. So
oh, wow.
I think that's the only bit that's been quicker than the other parts would have been the rehearsal process and was the actual casting bit, but other than that.
It sounds like it's worked out pretty well then for you guys.
It's a show that was developed and written in 2019, and so it's had a very, very long journey to get here. And I'm so glad it is here finally, because Henry put his heart and soul into it, and I personally just think it's a wonderful, wonderful play. It's lovely that it's finally getting its chance to shine.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to talk further about the play later on in our interview today. But obviously, with the Stagey Place, what we like to do is we like to get to know the guests a little bit more. So for you, Georgie, how did you originally come into this industry? Why did you want to come into this industry? Did you have any influences that made you step foot into the performing arts world?
It sort of harks back to when I was a child. And when I say a child, I mean a really, really child. I remember going to my first show, my first play. I was so young that I didn't even have to have my own seat. I was able to get my mum's lap. Yeah. And it was The Lion King at the Lyceum, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it must have been a month after it opened or something around about that point. In my brain, I can still remember the scene where Simba is running away from the stampede.
Okay.
And that was an electrifying performance for me, and it sort of ignited this massive passion. Now, when I was a child, I was determined I was going to be an actor. And in my secondary school, my drama teacher thought, she's maybe not the best actress in the world. And she took me under her wing, and she was absolutely lovely. Her name was Julia Crossley, and she basically taught me stage management, production management, and a bit of producing as well, and learning all the logistics that you needed to actually put on a show. And she gave me platforms that I could actually create my own content as well.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was wonderful. unbelievable. And then from that point on, I volunteered with the Pleasants in the summers, and I studied theatre, film and TV at university at Bristol. And I was really fortunate. I got my first job, which was at the Soho Theatre, a month before I graduated from Guildhall.
Yeah.
Did a master's in production management.
Amazing. And this was the venue technician, is that right, at the Soho Theatre?
Yes, it was. It was. I was a venue technician for just over 2 years. It's a wonderful theatre. And the thing about Soho is that it's not one venue, it's three.
Yeah.
At the peak, every single venue had three shows in every single month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you haven't just always been in theatre, because I think I read that you've got into TV as well. Is that right?
Yes. So when the pandemic hit, Soho actually took a really, really good angle on the situation and started filming a lot of their content.
Yes.
You might have seen that they've got Amazon Prime specials and their own platform as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And basically, I was involved in that. And then through that, I met quite a lot of people in the TV and film industry. And I knew quite a lot of people from my course at university. So I decided I wanted a new challenge.
Yes.
Something that'd be completely different. So I applied for a couple of roles in TV and film. So,
amazing. And what role do you take on in those?
So I specifically came in to help with COVID, but I worked with the production teams under their umbrella, specialization in COVID. Which is a bit of an odd one.
Yeah.
Coordinating roles, which is logistic. And a lot of what my work was doing was more looking after people. So making sure their payroll, they were getting paid.
Yeah.
Structuring the entire team. And various other bits and pieces to do with the logistics and making sure that they could do their roles.
Well, it's a real vital component, because like you say, you know, you're doing COVID, you're doing payroll. It's quite a big job. And so since COVID and since theatres have reopened, have you still been working in TV? Are you glad to be getting back to theatre? How are you feeling about both art forms?
I love theatre. Theatre is my home, where I feel safe. And it's what I know best.
Yeah.
But what I would say is it's been a brand new challenge. I absolutely adore pushing myself and trying to reach new opportunities and new limits.
Yeah.
And other new skills. I am looking forward to coming back into theatre, but I have realised that my role, as much as I love being a venue technician, I don't have a specialisation like other venue technicians do. I don't specialise in lighting, I don't specialise in sound.
Okay, yeah.
I always counted myself as a bit of an all-rounder.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay at everything. I'm not particularly wonderful at anything.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I do count as a particular skill and of mine is logistics and production management. So taking all of those skills that I've learned in the TV and film production world and reusing them in this world, it aligns itself more with producing, which is really what I think I want to get into more in the theatre world. But having said that, it's a hard industry to crack, both
yeah.
are. And
yeah.
particularly if you set yourself the standard of being a producer or wanting yeah. to be a producer, it comes in ebbs and flows. And so you have to sort of take opportunities when they come.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, be happy to log away on a TV show for 4 months until the next one comes along.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I would say is in both industries, I've learned so much that
yeah.
compete to each other.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that necessarily I have a desire to pick one over the other.
Yeah.
I would say I want to do a bit of both at the same time and see how it works.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Land of Lost Content, because it is a theatre production that has come back after COVID and since theatres have been shut down. It is on at the Pleasance from the 10th until the 12th of February. Georgie, do you just want to talk a little bit about the show and how you actually got involved and what made you want to be a part of the production?
So Land of Lost Content is written by Henry Mabb. He also stars in it as well. And it follows a man named Henry. And he goes back to his hometown, which in the show is called Dalal. And it's quite a small village type town. And it's about him reliving and reconnecting with friends and reliving memories that contributed to making him the man he is today. So it's recalling your childhood, recalling those key moments that really did impact you so much that it's formed who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And I was contacted by a director who's also the producer, Nick Allerton, and he sent me the script and I read it and I loved it. I related with it so much. The one thing I would say about Henry is that he writes characters so well, in that I could not find something that I related to a specific character. I knew someone who was that character in my own person. No matter if it's relevant to you specifically,
yeah,
you'll be able to acknowledge that those characters are all in your life and where they are now.
Yeah, and so was there a specific part of the script, without giving any of the story away, was there any specific part of the script that you latched onto the most and was like, this is amazing and this is why this character is so rounded?
So my favourite part of the script, or the most profound part of the script, is an interaction between Henry's character and a character called Grace. It comes about midway in the script and they're around about the age of 15 or 16, so right in the middle of their teenage years. And Grace has been through a really, really harrowing experience. I was able to immediately relate with that because I'm very fortunate, without giving too much away about what actually happened in the plot of the play, I was extremely fortunate in my personal life to have not experienced anything as harrowing as what Grace goes through. But I do have friends who were. And this interaction between Henry and Grace in particular brought back an immediate memory as they were reading it in the rehearsal room. And I think that's just when the penny drops for me. This show is extremely relatable for anyone who's a full-grown adult, because although I personally couldn't identify myself with any of the characters, I was able to acknowledge in particularly in that moment and in that scene that I do have a Jake in my life. I do have a Henry in my life. I do have a Grace and I do have a Kirsty. All of these characters, both primary and secondary, I could acknowledge that these events, very similar events, have happened in my life, or the equivalent thereof. And in that way, I was able to reflect on my own upbringing and on my own experiences that have made me the person who I am. There are certain things that I can't relate to because it does follow two male characters, and I was never a teenage boy ever. So I think it is a big sort of mix of experiences, and yes, they are more relatable maybe to men, but I was able to find my own bits and pieces that I went, yeah, that happened to me. I mean, you know, they find themselves in a forest overnight, and I was not that crazy. I did not do that.
No, I don't think I've ever done that, actually. I'm too scared of not the outdoors or the darkness, but just the unknowing of where you are. And I think you could get pretty lost in a wood, so I don't think I would be running into the woods anytime soon. So, Georgie, I know that we've spoken about it before, but Land of Lost Content was going to be a part of this year's Vault Festival. And since the Vault Festival was cancelled, the Omnibus and the Pleasance have both joined to create a transfer season, which Land of Lost Content is in. This show was originally written in 2019, and now it's back here now in 2020. You were just about to do it at the Vault Festival. The Vault Festival is now cancelled. You're bringing it back to the Pleasance Theatre. It is finally happening this week as we record, from the 10th until the 12th of February. How are the company feeling about finally being able to do it and being given a second chance at the Pleasance?
We are so grateful and so humbled by the fact that the Pleasance wanted to take on the show and give us a platform. As I've said, it's been so long in the making for Henry. He's had the script for a while. I honestly do believe that new writing needs to have a massive comeback. There are so many great plays out there that have been written by people that just not have the chance to even be put on at fringes or anything because of what's happened with the pandemic. And it's so important to cradle and look after new talent, early talent. It's only through doing that that you get these amazing shows that we all have and love and know, and these amazing writers and these amazing performers. And, you know, creating those opportunities is so important. What I would say for us as a company, I think we were very fortunate in that the whole plan was to start rehearsals the week after the Vault Festival was announced that it was going to be cancelled. And because this is the first time that the show has ever been put on, we had freedom to reimagine it in the space at the Pheasants.
Yes.
I would say as far as the production goes, we were probably in the best place for that to have happened. But just like every other company I'm sure out there right now, we would have loved to have been a part of the Vaults. It's a wonderful platform, a wonderful festival. It was a big shame that it couldn't take place there.
Yeah, I think the Vault Festival is one of the most amazing, amazing festivals. I know that, you know, I've been up to Edinburgh many times and I've been to the Vaults. And even though Edinburgh is such an incredible festival in itself, everyone knows that, everyone knows that. But something about the Vault, which is so amazing, is how immersive and in depth it all is underneath the station. Like, you meet so many people, you bump into so many people, it's so crowded. And I know that might seem like quite a scare for a lot of people, but it is so lovely to be involved in something underneath the Waterloo Station, where this amazing festival is, with so many spaces that just transform themselves so simplistically to bring up so many productions. So yeah, like you say, it's such a shame that it hasn't been able to run this year. And, you know, everyone would have loved to be a part of it. But these venues that have supported and have since supported, within like 24 hours of the festival being cancelled, there were so many venues saying that they had slots open for shows, and everyone was so accommodating. And I think that's because these venue owners from all these fringe theatres know what it's like maybe to put on a show in your, you know, in your early years as a company, some people as early creatives, to have lost a show, to be given that second chance in a purpose-built theatre. It must be so lovely for so many people.
Well, that's the thing. You know, every single person that runs a venue went to Fringe.
Yes.
Has been to a Fringe. They know what it's like to not have that platform. And they know how integral that platform was to creating them as an artist.
Absolutely. And now, Georgie, with audiences coming to see this production, what would you like them to take away? What is the biggest message or biggest thought or biggest experience you would like them to take away from the production?
I think I probably want them to take away what I take away from it.
Yeah.
Which is a moment of recollection, a moment of remembering those key points and those key moments in your life that really actually did make you the person you are.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Georgie, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Land of Lost Content. It's been absolutely fantastic to hear about the show. But Georgie, before you go today, I'm sure if you've listened to any of the other episodes, get ready for this one. You'll know that there is one final question that I like to ask my guests, and that is whereabouts their stagey place is. Obviously, it's the title of this podcast, and it's something that is the most unique thing about these episodes, because all our guests usually have a different theatre or dressing room or venue that they like to call their stagey place. So obviously this could be the place where you first saw your first show. It could be The Lion King at the Lyceum Theatre. It could be the Soho Theatre where you got your job as the venue technician. Or it could just be a place or venue that you like to go back to that reminds you of the theatre industry, or somewhere that just makes you feel at peace within the performing arts. So Georgie, for you, whereabouts is your stagey place?
I've talked about it a lot, but my stagey place is the upstairs venue at the Soho Theatre.
Amazing.
I would say it is the space whereby I have watched artists come from their very beginnings and progress to having full flourishing careers, in particular comedians. So I remember working with Catherine Bohart, Sarah Keyworth, people that are now quite big mainstream comedians. I remember their first night at Soho Theatre.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
That's how long ago was that I started working there. And now I see them and they're on Live at the Apollo and they're doing these incredible shows that are so empowering. And I count myself as really, really fortunate for having had the opportunity to work there for 2 years. And I still go back now. I went back 2 weeks ago and I watched a show there, and I still work there occasionally. It really is the space in which I feel comfortable and that I have experienced the most wonderful careers for young practitioners that are having their first big opportunity in a practice building.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely amazing. Like I said, I think I've only been twice to the Soho Theatre. And like I say, both times have been in the upstairs stage seeing, I saw one comedy show and then one piece of straight theatre. Both fantastic pieces. And even I was sat on like the balcony side aisle bits that you've got, and a perfect view. I mean, you know, a top tip for people, if you're going to the Soho Theatre, sit on those corner bits, because they really are great views. Well, they were anyway for the two shows that I went to go and see. I can't promise that they're going to be great views for every show. But it's so fantastic to hear that, you know, it is a place that you've worked in and that has also given you shifts since leaving. Like, it seems like it's somewhere that really wants to bring back people who have worked there before and aren't just like, right, you're not with us anymore, you're not with us at all now. Like, it's like they'll keep bringing people back that have worked there before, and that's an absolutely fantastic thing to hear, that they're being so supportive and so open to that happening. Georgie, that's the end of our episode today, which is a real shame because I've actually really enjoyed chatting with you today. You know, you've bounced between the art forms, you've gone from theatre, you've gone through TV, you've told us a little bit about Land of Lost Content, which again I'm really excited to come and see. It sounds like I'm gonna have lots of visions and lots of experiences watching it that I may reminisce about stuff that has happened in my real life. And then obviously we've spoken a little bit about the Soho Theatre and the upstairs stage, which is your stagey place, which is absolutely fantastic. Georgie, thank you so much for coming onto the stagey place today.
Thank you for having me, it's been amazing.
And there we go, that was my chat with Georgina Trott, assistant producer of The Land of Lost Content, playing at the Pleasance Theatre this week from the 10th until the 12th of February, and is a part of the Vault Festival transfer season. I'd love to thank Georgina so much for coming on to the podcast, and I'm super excited to come and watch the production this weekend. I also hope that you are intrigued after hearing the episode too. So until next time, thank you so much, the listeners, for tuning into this episode. I hope that you are keeping safe and staying stagey. Goodbye.